Blog Talk Radio.
All right, we in. Okay, so good evening, everyone. It's Shamika Tia. Today is Monday, February 19th, 2018, and today's show is titled Part 2, From Call to Chosen. And I hope you had an opportunity to check out part one. If you have not, you can still be able to follow along today, definitely, but make sure you go back and check out part one. And we spoke about the first recording of a man that was called. And I'll do a quick recap in a few. Before we get going, y'all know I like to read the 7 rules regarding prophecy. But what I was telling the viewers on Facebook is that today was the first day I worked out, and it was actually – it was pretty amazing. Like, I haven't worked out in a long time. The last time I worked out was probably about, let's say, like maybe 3 months ago. And before then, it was a long time. And the reason why it was 3 months ago, I did one good workout. And let me tell you something, I was so sore. I was sore for 3 days. So I just kind of got turned off and was like, I'm good with that. I'm going to leave that alone. And I'm pretty active anyway. Like, if you act, like, I'm active. I'm an active person. I'm never sitting around, laying around. I'm always up and on the go anyway. So I was good with that workout. Like, I'm good. But, like I said, I wasn't whiffing down all this chocolate. And my thing was this. I'm going to still eat the chocolate. Like, I'm not slowing down eating the chocolate. I'm going to keep eating the chocolate. I'm probably going to eat more chocolate. So I just figured, you know what, let me start working out now so that all of that can just kind of balance out because I'm still going to eat the chocolate. I actually want some chocolate right now. So, yeah, I just had some chocolate a little while ago. So I'm going to still be eating the chocolate. I'm not slowing it down. So, you know, you got to balance things out. You got to balance it out. And I'm not even trying to go out like that. Like, I'm going to eat. And I like it. Like, I'm not one of those girls like, oh, my God, I'm getting fat. I'm going to kill myself. Like, I don't mind the weight. I mean, I really don't mind the weight. I think God made it that way because I'm 42. When you start getting older, obviously things start sagging and you start getting wrinkled. However, your metabolism slows down. And I think God did it like that because God knows what he's doing. He's so smart. And what it is that you can smooth out the wrinkles when you start gaining weight. So you're not really, you're not supposed to have wrinkles. So you just keep eating. The older you get, you just keep eating. So you get a little bad, but you don't have wrinkles. So what would you rather, meat on your bones or wrinkles? I'd rather meat on my bones. Right? I mean, that's what I would rather. Okay, and he knew he was going to be keep eating. So he just said, you know what? Y'all keep eating and smooth out your wrinkles. Okay? He's so smart. Anyway, before we get going, this coffee is so good. I got white chocolate macadamia nut creamer. Y'all ain't never taste nothing so good. I mean, I normally get southern butter pecan, and that's top of the line good. But I was like, yeah, I already had that. You know, I didn't want to, you know, I wanted something else. So that's good creamer. It's just good. It's nutty. It's real good. Anyway, I'm going to read the 7 rules regarding prophecy. The first rule is to understand prophecy as history written beforehand. The second rule is to give the same meaning to words of prophecy as you do the words of history. The third rule, do not seek for hidden meanings. The fourth rule, do not think prophecy must be fulfilled before it can be understood. The fifth rule, do not interpret God's own interpretation of anything in prophecy. The sixth rule, take all prophecy literally unless it is clear that it cannot have a literal meaning and then get the literal truth conveyed by the figurative language. And the seventh, let the Bible be its own interpreter. So if you follow those 7 rules, it's impossible to be off the road call straight. And I'm going to tell y'all something right now. Please make sure you're following those rules because I've been seeing some crazy stuff on Facebook. Some dude posted some oils and some African products that he had got. And, you know, he was just like, oh, yo, you know, I get it. You supporting your people. But one of the things I noticed that was in the pictures of the pile that he purchased was what it called? Sexual sorcery. And I was like, immediately I just responded in that post that he posted. I was like, be careful with that sorcery book. Like, I wanted to say, what in the hell are you doing? But, I, you know, like I said, I didn't know him. I was just happy to be scrolling Facebook, and he's posting. Like I said, he's kind of bigging up, like, oh, power to the people. I'm buying black. I'm buying black. And buying black, like don't be too pro-black when you start slipping and getting off the road called straight is what I'm saying. You can buy black all you want. I buy black. Yes, I use shea butters and oils, all of that. I can't use nothing else. But my thing is, I'm not going to be buying sorcery books either. Just because the man behind the counter looked all earthy and mama motherlandish, and you know he done sold you some craziness, and you adapted, like your spirit senses should have went up. I'm good on it. Sexual sorcery? What you want to put roots on women to have sex with you? Like my thing is, why you bought that book for? That's what I should have. Matter of fact, I'm gonna try to find out. I'm like, why did you buy that book? Ask God about the wife he wants you to marry. Find her. He'll send you her. He'll send her to you, or he'll send you to her. And that's more than sorcery could ever be. It's called love. It's called love. So what's the sexual sorcery for? You know, you want every woman that's coming around you to just, like that's all. That's I'm trying to tell you, y'all be careful out there for women and men alike. Number one, here's our head, and this is the thing what I'm trying to talk about, because he's supposed to be ahead. Ahead means you're supposed to have direct access to the Creator, and you're supposed to be leading a family. But here you are walking into the store and walking out with some damn sorcery, witchcraft-type nonsense book that's supposed to be beneath you if you are communicating with the Creator. You see what our heads are doing? And that's what I mean by, like, watch who you're hooking up with. Watch who you're marrying. Watch who you agreeing to be the head of your household. This is what I'm talking about. No spiritual discernment at all. What kind of, I mean, I hope he ain't married. I hope he ain't married. I hope he not married is all I got to say, because what are you going to, I mean, I don't even want to think about it. I really don't want to think about it. I still have to say, keep these 7 rules at the forefront of your mind so that you don't walk into a store with the intention to buy oils and butters and stuff for your body, and then you walk out with a sorcery book. That's what I'm trying to talk about. Please be careful. I mean, please be careful. Because something's wrong with that. If it's that easy, something's wrong. You spiritually weak. And it's not an insult. It's not an insult. You know what I'm saying? That's what the scriptures call them, weak. You had no discernment. You had no wisdom, no knowledge, no understanding. And the minute you saw that book, your senses should have went up. No, thank you. I don't care what the guy behind the counter or what the girl behind the counter. You want your woman to only have eyes for you. Like, what could have possibly of language could have been discussed to make you want to get a book called Sexual Sorcery? I mean, it don't even sound, you know. It sounds like, I mean, as soon as you hear it, sexual sorcery, I think of orgies and all kinds of sex. Why did you buy that book? This is what our heads are doing. We in the scriptures, they buying sorcery books. And then be the first one talking about, woman ain't supposed to teach. What are you going to teach us about that sexual sorcery book you bought? Then who's supposed to teach? That's why I feel some type of way. It'd be the brothers that be saying that too. I feel some type of way when they say that, because I'd be like, who's going to teach if we don't teach? Who's teaching now? Not y'all. And that's unfortunate. That's unfortunate, because y'all supposed to be the heads. Y'all got to get it together. I think I did a show on that, and maybe we could do a part 2. Y'all need to get it together. And my thing is this. If you see a brother, if you're a brother and you got it together spiritually and you see a brother like that, you should go in. You should respond to that immediately. You know, I mean, I was scrolling. I didn't really see nobody against what he had posted. And that was even more disturbing. Not his post, because he's probably a baby, a weak man. And what was disturbing is that nobody counted it. Nobody said, no, brother, bring that book back to the store. Throw that book in the garbage right away. I mean, no, nobody counted. That's like somebody, one of your friends coming in with a Ouija board. Oh, I guess what, I bought a Ouija board. And you go, a word. No. Like, you are your brother's keeper. You know that, right? Do y'all know y'all are your brother's keeper? Y'all are your sister's keeper. Like, that is your responsibility. If you see somebody in air, that's the air they're talking about. That's the correction they're talking about. Not, oh, you gay or you sin. Like, no, when you see somebody straying and veering off the road called straight like that, heading down a dark path where forgiveness is really not in order type thing, you have a responsibility to be like, whoa, 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 whoa. Yo, man, you about to get into devil worshiping. Are you sure you want to do that? Like, you got to make that be crystal clear. This is not called sexual sorcery. That wording is to entice you into looking into that book. And next thing you know, you got demons in your damn house, and you don't know how they got there. That's what I'm talking about. Anyway. Well, I say all that to say, that's what the show is about. It's called from, it's titled From Called to Chosen. And you want to be very, very, very careful. And that's exactly why. Satan knows we are hungry. We're getting thirsty. We want more. Everybody want more, more, more. That's why the brother bought it. I mean, come on. I'm in the brother's defense. He bought it because he wants more. More of what is the problem, but he wants more of something. You know what I mean? He like, oh, he thinks it's, oh, more better sex or more money or more. He wants more of something. So you could tell he's already hungry. I mean, you got to be hungry to buy a book called that. But at the same time, you see how Satan's right there to feed that hunger, or I should say to try to satisfy that hunger. So be careful what you've fallen for. You know what I'm saying? And since this is like, Don't let it be that easy. Matter of fact, don't let it be easy at all. And the scripture says he can't fool the very elect. So be the very elect. Be the very elect. And if you're not the very elect, ask God, God, I want to be counted as the very elect. Can you please download wisdom, knowledge, and understanding in my spirit? Because I obviously don't have that spiritual gift. Like, you can ask for that, and you should ask for that. Because if you walk in, like I said, boy, it's just that easy for you to just walk in and sort and buy some mess like that. That's a very bad glitch. Very bad glitch. Anyway, let's get into this. This is part two. Let me just do a quick recap of what was discussed in part one. Part one, we discussed Abraham's call in Genesis 12, we went through, and I went through the steps. Abraham was called to separate. He was called to give small to little details. Abraham was called to separate. He was given small to little details. After that, he was promised a blessing. He was promised a future. He was given a set of commands and requirements in this step one of this call. Step two, we spoke about the response to the call, doing exactly what he says, and waiting for further instructions before making a move. That's step two in a call. And we had some takeaways in Genesis chapter 12, verse 10. The takeaways was he should have asked God before leaving the area he was told to go to. God doesn't want us lying after he calls us. No pretending to get or do anything where God is concerned, which is what Abraham did when he got to Egypt. He had to lie and say, she's my sister and all that. That's right there. Would have known this is not of God, because God is not about lying our way into something. Like, no, we're supposed to be announcing God sent me here, and there will be no lying about it. And if you got to run or hide or get to safety, like most of us usually have to do, that's fine, but it shouldn't be lying. And you know what I'm saying? God is not a liar, and he will never, ever ask you to lie. So right there, that's when you know you're not embarking on God's territory. In verse 14, it speaks of immediately outside of the will of God. That's how you'll know. verse 17, we spoke of curses, plagues, sickness, and diseases followed disobedience and being outside of the will of God. Those were all the takeaways that we got from Abraham's call, right? And we went and really, like I said, when you get a chance, check out part one, because we went into really went into detail about Abraham's call. We did line upon line, precept upon precept, to get some great things, some get some do's and don'ts of being called, okay? Especially in this season, we don't have time to spend 40 days and 40 nights trying to get it together. You know what I'm saying? Like, we got to just do this now. You know, get it together right now. So yeah, I went really in really, really good detail. We spoke about obedience, listening for additional communication. There being another level of communication. Anytime God calls you, there will be another level of communication. And we're talking about divine communication, another level. It won't be anything you're used to. It'll be outside of your comfort zone, like that type of another level is what I'm discussing. Make sure you confirm your answer and say yes. I mean, you don't have to say yes. We took them off from call to chosen. It's as many a call. You are chosen. You must say yes. And yes is hard because we're still human and we want to keep being us. And this is what I had to learn. Yes means, yes, Lord, I want to be perfect. Use me, and I'll do whatever you tell me to do. We don't realize what that yes is until we're walking it. And the minute we don't say no, or the minute we say hold up, or the minute we say everything stops in the call. That's the difference between just having the Lord lead you somewhere. What I'm discussing is from call to chosen, and you know, and if you don't know what I mean, then maybe this is not the show for you. But I'm not talking about just getting some commandments from God. I'm talking about being chosen to do what He tells you to do requires perfection. We see that all throughout the scriptures, and that's why we're going to get into Moses today. Moses too, very, very, I mean, just a blessed man of God. He too is from the same lineage. Okay, he's from the Abrahamic covenant. The Bible speaks of not wasting our time with vain genealogy. And vain or genealogy is just that. But that's not what we're doing. So anytime you hear me point that out, it's not vain or useless. I'm pointing it out for a reason. I'm trying to show you a pattern here, which is very necessary. Abraham, because the Bible does that. So what it was saying is don't get so stuck and hung up on it. If you are not from the Abraham lineage and you get called, do what God tells you to do. Don't start getting hung up on who you are and, oh, am I a Levite? I don't know what I am. Maybe I'm from Judah. Like, don't get caught up on that. Just go. Do what God tells you to do. He will use anybody is what that scripture is about, okay? And some people just do that in a negative way to discredit other people, you know, so that's what that's all about. Yeah, so the call is, I could tell you from firsthand experience, it requires obedience. And then we also spoke about Lot in part one and about how, although Lot's dad was deceased and Abraham probably felt like, you know, Lot was more of his son than he was his nephew, Lot caused a bad problem. You know, a lot of things going on. I feel like to say, watch who you try to bring along on your call, on your road to being chosen. Watch who you grab and bring along. This is another thing I had to learn. You want everybody to come with you, and you want to, whether it's husband or wife, or whether it's this, or maybe you're in a boyfriend or girlfriend realm, and you're thinking, ooh, we both call together. Be very careful who you add to your mission when you do get called and being on the road to chosen, because that could be the very thing that separates you from being chosen, is you got the wrong person on base with you, and that person's not going to be there. God will stop speaking to you until you get you know, I'm not going to say get rid of that person like people are disposable. I'm going to say that's just you have relationships around you that God did not ordain. And the road from being called to chosen is requires professionalism. That's modern day, if you want to call it professionalism, meaning some people are not supposed to be in this sacred walk you're doing. There'd be distractions. That's what Lot became for Abraham, a distraction. Okay, yeah, I love you and everything, but you are a distraction from what he's supposed to be doing. You know what I'm saying? We don't need to make the same mistake, and maybe some of us already have. Let this be a reminder that we don't need to keep repeatedly making the mistakes that the ones before us did, because we have this awesome manual to look and refer to and go, oh, you know what? We should not let people that we hold near and dear to our heart to distract us from the call. It still requires separation, and that's very, very important because, you know, God may want to say something to me, and he doesn't want anybody around me when he does. And why, like I said, anyway, I didn't want to get into it. Just, I failed to say, let that be an example. When we read that, we really touched upon Lot being a distraction for Abraham and all this other stuff. And who knows, this is just part that hit the scriptures. I'm sure Lot was a bad burden to Abraham that just wasn't discussed. Oh, matter of fact, yay, mommy got kidnapped. You got kidnapped. Now I got to go out and kill people. I got to get you and your people's back. Remember that? I feel like this. I was about to say an error, well, not an error, but an ignorance that I'm sure it was more distractions than the Bible let on. But then I realized the greatest distraction of all was when he got kidnapped. Oh my God. Abraham had to go and save him and kill up all these people and go to battle. All while God's waiting for him to get back on base. You know what I'm saying? That's what I mean by distractions. Had he just stayed the hell home in the camp where he belongs with the rest of the family and let Abraham go on his call, none of that would have happened, right? None of that would have happened. So that's what I mean by be mindful. And like I said, I had to learn this. Be mindful of who you, because you're dragging them. That's what you're doing. You're dragging them. You're calling. You're amped and you're excited about it. And you walk in and you kind of trying to run to the call, but the person you trying to drag with you ain't, number one, ain't about that life. Number two, could care less about what God is saying to you, or they just don't understand it and they don't take it serious. You know what I'm saying? The last thing you need to be around is a person that's not taking your call serious. I mean, I remember telling someone about a vision I had that was very, it was more like a warning type vision, and I specifically asked that person not to do something. I was like, please don't do this, because God had warned me about this situation. And actually, I didn't even want to because of the vision. And do you know, the person waited till we got right down to where I said I shouldn't go in the first place because of the vision, and did exactly what the damn vision said he was going to do. And you know what he kept saying? Oh, I mean, a dream is it? And I was like, it's not a dream. Like, do you know what a vision is? Like, you know what prophecy is? And I just remember sitting there like, it was a reminder that people ain't going to take your walk serious. People are not going to take your walk serious. So what I learned sitting there, shouldn't have been there. You know what I'm saying? Like, I shouldn't have been there. I should not have been there. Here's God warning me, and I couldn't tell if he was telling me not to go or not, but I just know he showed me what was going to happen. And then here I am making a decision to go, but I thought, oh, you know what, I could warn this person. Listen, God warned me about this. Let's make sure this doesn't happen. Then we get to the place where I wasn't really sure if I was supposed to go or not, and you do exactly what the hell I told you not to do. Don't drag people on your walk, y'all. And the whole time I'm sitting there worrying about, because, you know, God doesn't give us mediocre warnings. Like, that was the like that was the thing. God is not warning me. He doesn't deal in mediocrity. Okay? He doesn't deal in mediocre. So if he's warning me about this thing, this is serious. Please do not do this. And it was like, no big deal. This is what I'm doing. It's like, didn't I tell you God said? And I was like, okay. Like I said, that sounds retarded to the outside world. God said. Half of them don't even believe in God. So when you talk about God said, they're like, God said. Watch who you drag on your And I say this to say, I'm glad I made that mistake, because the last thing you want to do, like how we're reading in the scriptures, the last thing you want to do is be making these little, I'm going to call it miscellaneous, because we think it's miscellaneous mistakes, and then get farther in after being chosen, and then get far in our walk, and then start making these same mistakes or similar mistakes. Or you think I'm gonna do that again? No. Hindsight, and like I said, studying for this show, studying for this whole core walk thing, just made me say, "Wow, this is really not for them." You know, I remember being with someone, and the minute the words God said came out of my mouth, I remember being fascinated by it and really respectful of it. Like, oh, wow. Okay, well, I wasn't familiar with hearing the words God said X, Y, Z. So every time I heard it, I was just like, he did. And what else did he say? Like, I thought it was like fascinating to be able to communicate with the Creator. I didn't know we all could do it at the time. But I'm just saying, I just remember being really, really fascinated with it. And the fact that that person had prophecy and warning for me, too, I took that very serious. Like, oh, wow, my God, here I am, little old Shamika, and God sends you to tell me something? Oh, my God. You know, I just thought that was pretty fascinating. You know what I mean? But my thing is, when you speak it to someone that's not a child of God, and not everybody is a child of God, that's okay. We've accepted that fact. We're not all children of God, clearly. So they don't receive the God said the same way, okay? They're not. You know, somebody tell me what their mama said. Why does that affect me? If you think about it, right? Why does that affect me? It's like hanging out with your friend and playing outside, and they say, oh, my mama said I got to go inside. Bye. My mama didn't say that. You know, like, they don't take what your parent says to heart. That's for you. So keep that in mind when we are walking this or trying to walk this walk call. They don't take it the same, because he's probably not their God. If they did, they would want to be down with the mission, feel kind of great that they have a friend or someone like you close to them that shares this special gift. Like, it should be something that they would be wanting to build with, you would think, right? Like, oh, okay. Not, oh, what's the lottery numbers? I'm not talking about that. I'm talking about, like, oh, wow, is there anything I could do? How can I help you? You know what? Can I sell into your ministry? You know, like, what can I do to help you fulfill your call would be the mentality you would think. But it's just not. Like I said, and I'm not giving you lip service. That's happened to me. I've had somebody around me that was called, and I did everything I could to help that person fulfill their call in every way, shape, or form. I was plucking out distractions left and right for them. I mean, I was trying to do everything in my power to make sure they were doing and fulfilling the will of God for their call. I thought it was actually fascinating to watch. You know what I'm saying? So, but guess what? Are you going to have a little cheerleader right there cheering you on during your call? Probably not. You may. I'm just saying, watch who you drag. Don't drag a lot. Don't drag cutting lot. Okay? That's all I'm saying. We also learned that Abraham had to retrace his steps. If you get called and you get off course, God is not an abracadabra like this world teaches us about this fairy tale stuff. He's not that kind of God. He is the God of reality, and you may just need to retrace your steps to get back on a road called straight. So keep that in mind. Like I said, we really touched on some amazing things about the Abrahamic covenant. And, I mean, that's how this all started. So you need to check out part one. Like I said, just check it out. Okay? So now we are in part two. And, again, I just wanted to do that recap because the Abrahamic covenant is the covenant from called the chosen that you need to, that you want to know every single detail about. Okay? Because that's what the whole covenant was built upon. The Abrahamic, the God of Abraham, Isaac, and Jacob, and the Abrahamic covenant. Like, wouldn't it make sense to tap into who he was? I mean, yeah. All right, so let me just do a quick, making sure, does anybody have any questions thus far about part one? Okay, good. We're doing really, really good with time. I don't want to take, normally I don't do this because somebody has a question and throw you off. Yo ho, old line, but I'm going to do it anyway. Destiny Harris says hi. Hi, Destiny Harris. How are you? I can't even pronounce your name. Says salam. Salam. Thank you for joining. Thank you so much for joining. Desiree Max says good evening. Good evening, Desiree. Steve Controversial Frank camping out as usual. I'm retarded. I'm not even going to read your comment. He's always camping out. And I'm not going to read your comment. This guy. Mark Ward says, wow, Oh, I lost the comments. Let me swipe it left. Oh, there, back. Mark Ward says, wow, we. Thank you so much for joining, everybody. Destiny Harris says, how are you? I'm great, darling. Thank you. How are you? Dana Swint says, absolutely true. Exactly, Dana. I mean, it's real on the battlefield. Dana Swint says, sometimes they are going to eliminate themselves through their mindset. Exactly. That's what happened in my case. It was so easy for me to cut that cord. It was so easy for me to be like, look. You know, it's so easy. I mean, it's bad enough. I was kind of struggling with my own little struggles of things with my mind and things that I was doing. Y'all know I was battling cigarettes and all this other stuff. And the last thing I needed around me was a distraction, especially not a distraction like where you don't get my call. I thought, you know, if you were sent by God, you're supposed to be adding to my call and helping with my call, not distracting and pulling me, trying to drag me off to the road call left. Like, nah. So, anyway. All right. Yeah, and Dana Swift said they're not supposed to. That's right. They're just not supposed to be there. And it's not bad. It's not who's better or who's worse. It has nothing to do with that. It's just simply, I got things to do that don't involve you. That sounds harsh. It's not. It's not. Okay. And my thing is, why do you want to be around somebody that's called and you're not? And every time they bring it up or want to discuss something about the scriptures, you're uninterested. Like, why would you want to be unequally yoked in the first place? That's my thing. These people seek out called people of God and then want to start huffing and puffing and getting angry and upset because that's all they want to do. And my thing is, aren't you unequally yoked? Why do you want to be there? Why do you want to be there? I mean, I remember when I would, back in the days, I wasn't single that much or that long, but the times I was single, if I met somebody, you know what was, before I got the number, you know what I would ask? Do you smoke weed? That's what I would ask them. Do you smoke weed? And the reason why I would do that is because, my thing is when I'm back in the days when I would hang out, I kind of wanted to smoke weed, And to me, it didn't make sense to hang with somebody that did not smoke weed, because I thought the purpose of us being friends and or even hanging out was, you know, when you're hanging out with somebody, I thought you're supposed to have something in common. And my thing is, if you didn't smoke weed, like, I really didn't see the point of us hanging out. Because, you know, when you do something somebody else don't do, like, let's say you drink and they don't drink, you can, you know, that's going to get kind of stale, you know. Oh, you're getting, you're having another drink? Or, you know, like, whatever it is you're doing, let's say you smoke cigarettes and they don't smoke cigarettes. Oh, you smell like smoke. Like, it's always going to be a problem. It's always going to be a problem. It's called unequally yoked, whether good or bad yoke. It's going to be a problem. You know, let's say gambling. Somebody likes to gamble and you don't. I mean, yeah, go. After a while, that's going to get pretty stale. You know what I mean? That's going to get real, real stale. So I never saw the purpose. And I used to just do that off the top of the dome. I didn't even know that there was, you know, I wasn't even looking at it like being unequally yoked. I just would be like, oh, like, you don't smoke weed. Oh, okay. What you do? You drink? Okay, all right. And I would never let them know that, but what I was actually doing was kind of making a checklist. Give him my number, don't give him my number. Give him my number, don't give him. You're not getting my number, homie. We don't have anything in common. And even if we have everything else in common, no, it's not going to work. Because people that don't do what you do always complaining when you about to do it. Let's say they work out and you don't work out. They going to complain about you working out. You know what I mean? You eat pork, they don't eat pork. They going to be complaining, you eating pork. Like, it's just like, just get the fun out of relationships. Anyway, let me get back to that. Just thinking about it. Tiring. Okay, Exodus chapter 3. Let's get into this Moses' walk. Moses is called. Moses is chosen. And this is amazing to watch. And we got a front row seat in it through the scriptures. And that's what the scriptures is. And it's a shame that the rest of the world doesn't view the scriptures as it should. Everybody don't even understand what the scriptures is. It is a front row seat in the call. I mean, that's how you can look at it if you got called or chosen. Take notes. Take notes. What did Moses do when he get called? What did Abraham do? What did Gideon do? What did this one do? What did that one? What did Joseph do? What did like, we're supposed to be taking notes or making notes in the script. Make a note. Get a Bible, a study Bible. You can mark it up. There's no such thing as, I don't want to mark up my Bible. I want to keep it looking there. That's not a study Bible. Mark up in your Bible. Highlight. Mark up your Bible. You know, add in little things to your Bible. Then if you don't want to do it, then get some paper and put it in your Bible. But anyway, Moses was a very, very powerful man of God. We all know that Moses, God used Moses to get the law. I suppose. Oh, my God. That must have been decaf coffee because I am tough. Like I said, I started my day at my alarm went off at 5:50. You know, I get up to command my morning in between 3 a.m. and 6 a.m. And I was out the door, and we started working out at 6:30 a.m. So when I say I am tired, and I've been running all, I've been busy all day. So I can't wait to get that bed. And I can't even get into bed after this show because I got two more classes that I have to view. So it's just going to be, I'm going to need a little more Jesus, if that makes sense. Okay, so Exodus chapter 3, how are we doing with time? Oh, good, very, very good. Exodus chapter 3. Did I start in the morning? Yep. Now Moses kept the flock of Jethro, his father-in-law, the priest of Midian, and he led the flock to the backside of the desert, and came to the mountain of God, even to Horeb. This is where the call happens. And the angel of the Lord appeared unto him in a flame of fire out of the midst of a bush. And he looked, and behold, the bush burned with fire, and the bush was not consumed. First notes, if you're taking it. The first thing to get, oh my goodness, this keeps saying storage is full. It's so annoying. What's the first thing you learn for getting called? Divine encounter. There is going to be a divine encounter. There has to be a divine encounter. That's how you'll know it's called. there will be a divine encounter. There has to be a divine encounter. How is God going to use you if you can't hear him? How is God going to use you if you don't respond to him? Okay? God will use a prophet sometimes on the chosen, but that defeats the purpose if it makes sense. You know what I mean? Then that means that the prophet is actually the call one. He's using you because you're supposed to have direct access to him. You are the prophet, if that makes sense. So the first thing that's going to take place is a divine encounter. Okay? Keep that in mind. And that's why, because he wants to get you familiar with hearing him. Hearing him, and what do you do when you hear him? So that's the amazing part about it. And be mindful of it. Like I said, keep closing out some of these things. Okay? So that's the first thing we see in Moses called divine encounter. And maybe God's not going to, obviously, I'm not going to say obviously because I'm not going to box God. He doesn't reach out to everybody the same. Remember when we studied Abraham, it said, and he appeared unto Abraham, right? That means him himself appeared to Abraham. Here, Moses, he's appearing as a flame in the burning bush. Total different, okay? And I like the way the scriptures put it. The scriptures is letting us know, don't box me. I'm not going to do things the same. Don't say, oh, like that's like Moses saying, oh, this can't be God because this is a burning bush. No, don't look for one way God. He does whatever he wants to do. And he's the creator of the universe. I think he's going to get very creative when he reaches out to you. Okay? It's going to be very creative. That's how he gets down. He's not born. He's not born, okay? I think that's what they say he's mysterious, and that's why. He's not born at all. You just don't know what he's going to do at any time he decides to do it. That's the mystery about it. It's not this mystery being a stranger, God. It's mystery like, what's he going to do next? Oh, my God, how is he going to reach out to me this time? You understand? With Moses, this happens to be a burning bush. So I think that was pretty amazing how the scriptures put it, when we see the total difference in call and the total difference in divine encounter. Verse 3, and Moses, papers is falling out. Verse 3 says, and Moses said, I will now turn aside and see this great sight, why the bush is not burnt. Okay, so Moses has already recognized something crazy is going on. There's a fire, like, in this bush, but the bush is not burning up. Verse 4, again, for those that just tuned in, this is Exodus chapter 3. We're discussing Moses' call. Verse 4 says, and when the Lord saw that he turned aside to see, God called unto him out of the midst of the bush and said, Moses, Moses. Now, this is the most important thing about our call, and we discussed this already. And he said, here am I. When God calls you, answer him. Answer him. Moses said, here am I. That's another thing that you want to take notes. He will call you by name. Okay? So I had already taken notes as well. You see all the notes I was taking? I don't just have the show. I actually study. And, I write down what I'm hearing as well. And or what I'm studying. So I was taking notes as I was studying for the show. So the first thing is divine encounter. The second thing is he will call you by name. Okay? And I'm telling you, like I said, God, he's God. He doesn't do everything the same. I'm just telling you, I could tell you about me. I heard him call me by name. And it's so, it's hilarious because the night before he called me by name, my name was being called so much that day that I had told the person around me, I was like, listen, that's not even my name. Like, I mean, I was hearing Shamika, 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 Shamika. And I was like, oh. Like, if he says my name one more time, like, stop saying my name. It was just saying my name so much, Shamika, Shamika. And I was like, ugh. And I was like, you know that's not my name, right? Because I heard my name so much that I was just like, okay, call me something else. And I had said, my name is Shemeca. Like, not saying Shemeca. You call it too damn much. You're saying, like, let it go. Take five of my name. And the funniest thing, the next morning, when he called me by my name, he said, Shemeca. I thought it was hilarious. I turned and I looked and I was like, y'all funny. Y'all was paying attention last night. You was right there, sitting there, hearing my whole conversation. I just thought that was the cutest thing ever. Because, you get it, I had told somebody my name is not Shemeca, it's Shemeca. And in here, they calling my name the next morning, Shemeca. Uh-huh, you're funny, very funny. I just thought it was the cutest thing ever. Anyway, that's part of the he does what he wants type thing. I just thought it was amazing. But anyway, so he calls Moses by name. And listen out for that too, okay? And if he doesn't call you by name, then find out what your name means. You know what I'm saying? Find out what your name means or find out why he didn't call you by name. Verse 5. Oh, anyway, so takeaways. So the first is divine encounter. The second, he will call you by name. The third, answer God. Answer him when he calls you. There's no such thing as he's God. He knows. I don't got to say. I don't got to answer. Yes, you do. Yes, you do. It's a conversation, actually. He wants to see your obedience. He wants you to be on board. He wants you to be crystal clear on what it is you're saying and doing, which you think circumcision was about. You think God really cares about the foreskin on your penis? No, it's a demonstration. Demonstrate to me that you're down with this covenant. God is always about demonstration. So when you say, here I am, or yes, Lord, or Lord, I accept, or yes, Jesus, I do want you to come into my life to be my Lord, you're demonstrating that you are part, that you want in on this covenant. It's like your signature, if that makes sense, okay? Verse 5, and he said, draw not nigh hither. Verse 5, I'm sorry, I'm getting texts. And he said, draw not nigh hither. Put off thy shoes from off thy feet, for the place whereon thou standest is holy ground. Okay? What did you learn? The fourth, the command and instructions will be immediate. So you'll get a divine encounter. He will call you by name. Answer him the prophecy, the instructions, the commands. Him speaking to you will be almost immediate, okay? That's what's going on here. And we're pointing it out. I'm just reading the scriptures to you. It's not my opinion. This is what's happening. This is the steps that we're going by. And then in verse 6, it says, moreover, he said, I am the God of thy father, the God of Abraham, the God of Isaac, and the God of Jacob. He's going to clearly identify himself. Okay? He's going to clearly identify himself. And remember, in the New Testament, it always says, test the spirits. He's already identifying himself. When God does something, there will be no question or doubt involved in what he's saying. The only doubt will be the reasoning in your own head. But he's very specific and precise. Okay? Keep that in mind. God is very specific and precise, right? Nothing for the imagination. So let's read 6 again and point out exact words. He says, I am the God of thy father. What is that letter? Abraham? Oh, God, I'm sorry. That was a mouthful God gave Abraham in verse 6. Number one, he's showing you part of the lineage of the covenant that I made with your father. That's what he called him. Your father. Moreover, he said, I am the God of thy father, the God of Abraham, the God of Isaac, and the God of Jacob. Right? So I'm sure Moses heard stories about his great, right? I'm sure Moses heard stories because that's what you do. Like, oh, you know, like when your child is little, you tell them stories about your grandfather or your grandmother. And, you know, you hear. So I'm sure Moses already heard stories about Abraham walking and talking with God, then Isaac walking and talking, and Jacob walking and talking with God, I'm sure. So here's God identifying himself with the lineage that you should be very familiar with. I am their God, of your fathers, and letting him know you're a part of this, your fathers. Isn't that a mouthful? It's amazing. Also in the latter part of verse 6, it says, and Moses hid his face, for he was afraid to look upon God. Rumors. Don't let rumors be the cause of you wedging yourself or putting up a wall with God. Okay? Obviously, Moses fell for that rumor of, if you ever seen God, you can't look upon him or you'll die. Or, you know, like they, oh my God. Some people are just very superstitious. Don't let superstitious people put these superstitious ideas in your mind, because obviously Abraham was acting superstitious. That's what he was doing. Oh my God, I have to hide. If this is really God, I can't look upon him because I heard that you will die if you look upon God when you see him. Okay? So don't get superstitious with God when you get called. Verse 7. And the Lord said, I have surely seen the affliction of my people. Look at that. My people. He didn't say, yo people, Moses. He said, my people. Meaning, y'all are mine. Love that. Hold on, I got to turn the heat on this bitch. Chile. Here, I turned the heat off because, you know, so we can kind of see a little bit clearer. But, I mean, so we can hear a little bit clearer. But I'm hot-blooded, and I need the heat on. And it's nice outside still. It was like 60-something degrees where I'm at. Beautiful. But at the same time, I still need heat. I like it to be hot in my room. I mean, I really do. I like it to be hot. Not nosebleed hot, because I will get nosebleeds, but warm, nice and warm. Where am I? Oh, verse 7. How are we doing with time? Good, 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 good. We're doing great with time. And again, if you are, what you call it? If you're on Facebook and you would like to dial in, the number is 563-999-3682. Okay? Otherwise, you can just keep it here at Facebook. Also, you can do that online. I have the online chat box open if you kind of shy. And you don't want to be on the phone or Facebook Live. You can just join via internet. Don't ask me how to do that. I've never done it, and I don't know. But you should be tech-savvy. And you'll know how to do it. Just go to blogtalkradio.com and find your way and get in where you fit in, okay? But anyway, I like how God puts it in, again, another mouthful, in verse 7. And the Lord said, I have surely seen the affliction of my people, which are in Egypt, and have heard their cry by reason of their taskmasters. For I know their sorrow. Look at the mouthful. Let's point out the mouthful. And the Lord said, I have surely seen the affliction of my people. Number one, he sees everything, right? He sees everything. If you're being afflicted, if you're being blessed, whatever you're doing, he sees everything. He is no different. He's letting most know. I've seen that. And he says, of my people, love, love, love how he puts that, okay? And there's actually a few occurrences of the my people, and I love that. I love that. He didn't say the people, your people, my people. You want to be a my people of God, all right? Hey, okay, which are in Egypt and have heard their cry by reason of their taskmasters, for I know their sorrows. This is God that's speaking to Moses, okay? So
that's a mouthful.
That's a mouthful. Verse 8. And I am come down to deliver them out of the hand of the Egyptians. Wait. Verse 8 says, and I am come down to deliver them out of the hand of the Egyptians and to bring them out of that land into a good land, and a large, wait, unto a good land and a large, because it has a comma after large, that's why I was confused, unto a land flowing with milk and honey, unto the place of the Canaanites, the Hittites, and the Amorites, and the Perizzites, and the Hivites, and the Jebusites. He said, I have come down from heaven, obviously, come down from where I dwell to make this happen for my people. So what do we learn in verse 8? The call. Excuse me. He has a purpose and a plan for your call specifically. Specifically, okay? When God calls you, there is a specific reason. Yes, it's always, always, always will be to preach the good news and to preach the gospels and all that. It's different types of calls. Don't misunderstand the call to preach with missionary work. Like, everybody got different, various calls. You need to figure out what your call is, and don't let nobody allocate that for you. Like, for example, if you know you call to go around the world and do missionary work, don't let nobody tell you, yo, man, but you can sing, though. I think you're missing your call. Your call is in singing. Like, don't let nobody tell you. Maybe you singing around the world while you're doing mission. Don't let anybody tell you what your call is, or say, linking everybody in one box of, man, no matter what it is, we call to preach the gospel. Don't let anybody link you in that their box of what they think God is, okay? Because that's not what Moses was called to do. Moses was called to get my people out of Egypt, and we're going to do a hardcore style. I'm going to do a whole new thing. Y'all think I'm mighty God or almighty God. I'm going to show you who Jehovah is. That was some hardcore mess going on, okay? Yes, Moses was a musician and all that. Did that in route. Getting them out of there. So don't let anybody box you or limit you to just the pulpit. Don't let nobody tell you what your call is. I can't say it even clearer. Don't let nobody tell you what your call is. Only person that can tell you the purpose of your call is the Creator. Ask Him, Father, what am I called to do? And like I said, that should be part of the divine encounter of the things that He's showing you. Don't bite off more than you can chew. Don't sit down and not do what He called you to do because you're comparing yourself to another friend that you know that got called, or this one or that one, or maybe it must be like the pastor, or maybe it must be like the evangelist. Like, that's a box that you're putting God in. No, they were called to do that. Do what God's telling you to do, okay? And only you can do it the way you do it, so don't box Him, okay? So I like that. In verse 8, He reveals basically what He's going to do with Moses to get this done. Let me read it again. And I am come down to deliver them out of the hand of the Egyptians and to bring them out of the land unto a good land and a large, unto a land flowing with milk and honey, unto the place of the Canaanites, the Hittites, the Amorites, and the Perizzites, and the Hivites, and the Jebusites. Verse 9. Now, therefore, behold, the cry of the children of Israel is coming to me, and I have also seen the oppression wherewith the Egyptians oppressed them. Okay? Look how specific He's being in letting Him know, this is the area I want to cross with you, Moses. This is what I'm seeing. This is what I'm going to do. I'll come down here to get this done. Okay? Verse 9. Now, therefore, behold, the cry of the children of Israel is coming to me, and I have also seen the oppression wherein the Egyptians oppressed them. He's saying, not only are they crying to me, I've seen it. 10, verse 10, come now, therefore, and I will send thee unto Pharaoh. See that? Can you see that? Come now, therefore, and I will send thee unto Pharaoh, that thou mayest bring forth my people, the children of Israel, out of Egypt. Look how specific that call is. Now, for example, Moses is not specific for Moses because Moses is getting called at that moment. It's never specific for the person that's getting the call. But God had revealed the purpose of the call, okay? He's not going to give you all the details at once. He will never do that. Why? Why would he? who does that? It's one of those things like we kind of expect God to do things that we don't even do. You know what I'm saying? For example, getting married. You don't say to your wife, I want to marry you, and tomorrow I'm going to do this, and the next day I'm going to do this, and by next year I'm going to do this, and I'm going to do that, and then I'm going to do this to you. Like, that never happens. But for some reason, when it's involving God on the call, we want all the details that we don't even do or give in reality. You know what I'm saying? You just do it, and you just produce the final result of it, and then it's like, okay. So we don't expect those things of each other, but for some reason when God calls us, we want all the details right away before we even make a move, and that's just not reality. And when we deal with the God of reality, that's just not reality. Okay? What else did we learn? What else did we learn? First one, divine encounter. Second, he will call you by name. Third, answer God. Fourth, the command and instructions will be immediate. Recognize he call his people. Six, he has a purpose and a plan for you, for your call specifically. Seven, blessings involved and will be, oh, I didn't get to that one yet. I didn't get to that one yet. Let me keep reading. And I'm trying to figure out if I hear. No, I don't think so. I was about to say I've got to listen out for if he came back or not, but I don't hear. No, I don't think everybody's back. Because then I have to take a break. How are we doing on time? Okay, we got about 45. We can get this done. Where am I? Oh, verse 10. So he says, come now, therefore, and I will send thee unto Pharaoh, that thou mayest bring forth my people, the children of Israel, out of Egypt. Verse 11. And Moses said unto God, who am I that I should go unto Pharaoh and that I should bring forth the children of Israel out of Egypt? What did we just learn? When you get called, it's going to be out of your comfort zone. It's going to be out of your comfort zone. It definitely was out of Moses' comfort zone. The creator of the universe is speaking to me in a burning bush, and the creator of the universe is telling me to go to Pharaoh. Me, you know, and the weird thing it's weird that he even responded like that because Pharaoh's daughter raised him, right? So it's weird that he still felt like being, you know, like he's in bondage. He still felt like that after being raised by Pharaoh's daughter. So that shouldn't have been too shocking to him if God is saying, well, go to Pharaoh. It should be like, oh, like you should be used to going to Pharaoh. But for some reason here, he said it kind of subservient. And Moses said unto God, who am I that I should go into Pharaoh and that I should bring forth the children of Israel of Egypt? So I see he's the whole call, but the fact is he said, who am I to go into Pharaoh? Okay. I hear they are back now. So I've got to take a quick break. I'll take a commercial break. Let me just get the girls situated. And I will be right back.
Peace and blessings, family. My name is Pamela Muhammad, and this is Synchronicity Radio Network. Our program lineup is as follows. On Sundays at 3 p.m., we have Remnant Peculiar Israelites, hosted by Sister Shamika. On Mondays at 8 p.m., we have Keeping It Live Radio, hosted by Sister Phyllis. On Tuesdays at 8 p.m., we have the Aunt Canary Experience, hosted by Brother Anthony. On Wednesdays at 8 p.m., we have Who Did It To You? Roundtable Discussion with yours truly, Pamela Muhammad, Brother Dr. James Jones, and moderated by Brother Maurice Muhammad. On Thursdays at 8 p.m., we have Global Outreach, hosted by Sister Rhonda Michelle. And on Fridays at 9 p.m., we have Just Us Creating Economic Self-Sufficiency, hosted by Brother John. We believe at the Initiative Radio Network that we must create an environment where we can do for self and go to war against anybody who comes against what we decide to build. Trust and believe. We love you, black people, and we are giving our lives to make you free. Truth has come to you.
I'm sorry, so sorry. Okay, my bad. I'm working. Make sure. Good, no comments have come in since I left. Awesome, awesome, awesome. Awesome, 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 awesome. Okay, how are we doing with... Okay, Billy, got some time. Okay. Let me make sure nothing's in the chat box. Awesome, 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 awesome. Awesome. Okay. Where were we? Verse 11. And Moses said unto God, who am I that I should go unto Pharaoh and that I should bring forth the children of Israel out of Egypt? And I get that. You will feel inadequate when you're dealing with the Creator. That's why it's all God. Okay, you are inadequate. You are not qualified. You are not equipped. That's why it's coming from God. We're just a vessel. Okay? We are just vessels. So, yeah, you are. So you are. But remember, it's just a feeling. Don't let that feeling be the cause of you saying no. Or saying, you know what, he must sadly be mistaken. There's no way I can do this. Like, don't pull a Gideon. You know, but Gideon was just questioning it, as you should. Don't pretend with God, you know. Don't pretend if he's asking you something to do that you feel inadequate to do. Say that to God. God, I feel, you know, kind of like what Moses is saying. Like, wait a minute, God, who am I to go into Pharaoh? You know, so that already shows his humility. Okay, he was humble. He's kind of could see, let's also point out things in Moses' character just from that statement alone, obviously, because Pharaoh's daughter raised you, so he still was humble in that position. You in a role, you kind of, you know, in this high role, Pharaoh's daughter raised you, and you still are humble enough to say to God, who am I to go into Pharaoh and tell him to do anything, let alone release our people? Okay, I like that. Verse 12. And he said, certainly I will be with thee, and this shall be a token unto thee that I have sent thee. When thou hast brought forth the people out of Egypt, ye shall serve God upon this mountain. What is that God saying? Well, two things. Remember, you're taking notes. The first is divine encounter. The second, he will call you by name. The third, answer God. The fourth, command and instructions will be immediate. Five, recognize he calls his people. Six, he has a purpose and plan for your life. Call specifically. Seven, blessings involved and will be revealed. Eight, the call will be out of your comfort zone. Nine, he uses us, but he is with us every single step of the way. Verse 12 is confirmation of that. He uses us, but he's there every step of the way. It's not like God is sending you out and then like, all right, bye. See you when I see you. Let me know how it goes. That's not what's happening. Okay? He needs the vessel. Why? He gave humans dominion on the earth. So he needs humans to stand up and get whatever needs to be done on the earth is going to come from a human. Okay, so he needs our, otherwise he would be a liar. Okay, so he needs us to get the things done, exercise our dominion and get the things done. That's what's going on here, okay? And I love how he says it, certainly. Like, listen at the words the Creator is using with Moses. And he said, this is verse 12, by the way, Exodus chapter 3, verse 12, for those who are just joining. God says to Moses, "And certainly I will be with thee, and this shall be a token unto thee that I have sent thee." And watch this. When thou hast brought forth the people out of Egypt. He didn't say if. He didn't say, if you get this done for me. Mm-mm. That ain't what he said. That ain't what he said. Okay? He said, when. Like, this is going to go, this going down. And when it does, you're going to serve me. It's going to be a token for everybody. And it's to this day. It was always a token. I mean, to this day. It's never stopped. And you cannot say you are believing, don't know who Moses is. I mean, everybody know who, but non-believers know who Moses is. Okay? This is amazing. Oh my goodness. Yeah, I don't understand. I'm sleepy. Okay. So I can cross that one off. Did we say God will give you? Oh, okay. Verse 13. And Moses said unto God, "Behold, when I come unto the children of Israel, and shall say unto them, the God of your fathers has sent me unto you, and they shall say to me, what is his name? What shall I say unto them?" Now, I love that question because Moses is already looking and thinking far ahead, right? That's what we're supposed to do. So take note of that, okay? Look, when God gives you instructions or details or commands or ordered steps, if you will, think about what it is that he's saying to you and plan that out in your head. You know what I'm saying? Because that's what Moses is doing. Like, okay, you want me to go to Pharaoh and tell him this and that, but when I go to my peoples, our peoples, and tell them this, and they say, well, what's his name? Which one do you say? I love that. I love, love, love that. Okay? Because you don't want to fake it with God. Like, you don't want to, that's not what God wants. He doesn't want us faking it, acting like nothing. Okay, that was a legitimate question that came from Moses, and he asked it, what do you want me to say your name is, when they ask me? Like, he's already planning. I know they're going to have a lot of questions when I come tell them the God of Abraham said this, 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 that. They're probably going to question what, you know, I love that. Now, here, it's the beautiful response from the Creator. In verse 14, and God said unto Moses, I am that I am. And he said, thus shalt thou say unto the children of Israel, I am hath sent me unto you. I am. And those two words are the most powerful words, especially in this season, because God said, whatever come out of your mouth preceding the words I am is going to come and look for you. If you say I am whatever, bop, 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 that bop, 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 bop is coming your way. Good or bad, good or bad, good or bad, you know. We get into the habit of I am tired, I am this, and even me, I find myself having to catch myself all the time when I'm using the words I am. See, we have to be very, very careful what comes out of our mouth after we use the words I am. The universe hears it, boom, and if those words are coming looking for you, his words don't come back void. You're using the Creator. I am is his name. Okay? So when you say I am, the universe is responding to God, and everything you say looks for you. Good or bad, like I said, good or bad, if you want to start saying, I am victorious, I am healed, I am delivered, I am set free, I am a child of God, I am a joint heir with Christ, like you want to sow good, good, good seed over your body, I am beautiful, I am what's a big one? Virtuous. I am a virtuous woman. Okay. I am wealthy. Whatever you want, use I am and say it. Whatever you want, use I am and say it. So I just found that to be priceless response from God in verse 14. Everything that he responds is priceless. that is included. And especially recently, he had told you, I think I did a show on that. He said, whatever comes out of your mouth when you use I am, you're going to have it. And I was like, for her. And he was not even exaggerating. Everything that has come out of my mouth that I've used, and I'm very careful when I do use it. Because, like I said, you don't want to, we human, and we got a human mind, and you don't want to start getting into materialistic things too much when you're dealing with God. Remember I said part of the call, I'm not talking about the greedy world, I'm talking about the called. You are required to leave a lot of things behind. That's the requirement of the call. So why would you start accumulating or asking for all these materialistic things during your call? You see what I'm saying? You should be training your sword to ask for the things of God, ask for the things that's going to assist the people, ask for the things that's going to help you win souls. Like, we shouldn't be materialistic, worldly, material minded and worldly, asking for all the time. Oh, well, if she said whatever I said after I am, and make it so materialistic that you have taken yourself all out of the will of God. Okay? So if you don't know what to ask for, say that to God. God, I don't know what to ask for. You said whatever I want and whatever I need, you know, you shall supply all my needs according to your riches and glory. Well, show me what I need, because I don't know what I need. Like, start training your mouth to stay in the will of God. Okay? Let's say you start saying, I am married, but your call doesn't involve that. You ask it amiss, right? You ask it amiss. Let's say your call doesn't involve, or you're not ready. You're asking amiss, and a lot of people fall, including myself, we're not ready for a marriage, and you're asking for one, and then as soon as one hits the scenes, and you didn't realize you have to be praying over him, and you have to be rebuking and binding and the enemy on him, and you just entered into another level of the battlefield because you wanted to get married, and you don't know what it was you was asking for, especially a God-ordained marriage gets attacked the worst of all the marriages in the world. I mean, Satan ain't attacking satanic marriages. Satan ain't attacking a child of God being married to his kid. That's the point. I mean, so he only attacks the God-ordained marriages. So when you, as a child of God, are asking for God to send you a husband or wife, you just put a bullseye on your marriage. You sure you want that? Now, I'm not saying it to scare you. I'm just saying you got to understand what they heal. It is you asking for, okay? And when you understand that, ask yourself, are you ready? Are you ready? Because it requires a lot of praying, a lot of speaking, a lot of declaring, a lot of decreeing. And if you haven't even trained your body to wake up between 3 a.m. and 6 a.m. to command your morning for you and your spouse, you're not going to make it. And I'm not speaking that over your life. I'm just saying you're going to have a tough time surviving in that marriage if you haven't at least just did that. And if you did, it'd be the most amazing marriage in the world. Yeah, y'all will get attacked, but y'all be doing the damn thing together. Okay, when you weak, he'll be strong. When he's strong, you'll be weak, and, you know, vice versa. I mean, when you're weak, he'll be strong. I mean, it will be the most amazing thing in the world. I mean, that's what it was designed to be, regardless of the attacks, especially if you're just victorious. But the problem lies is when one person's not hearing from God. So when the attacks and the darts is being thrown your way, one's getting shot up and every dart's pricking him or pricking her instead of just you arm it up and they just bouncing off of you like nothing is what I'm saying. And if you're in the marriage that those fiery darts, you're going to have a tough time. You're going to have a tough time. Okay? So be careful and know what you're asking for. Please. Please. Okay? So where are we? Verse 15. And God said moreover unto Moses, thus shalt thou say unto the children of Israel, the Lord God of your fathers, the God of Abraham, the God of Isaac, and the God of Jacob hath sent me unto you. This is my name forever, and this is my memorial unto all generations. Okay? All right. Verse 16, go and gather the elders of Israel together and say unto them, the Lord God of your fathers, the God of Abraham, of Isaac, and of Jacob, appeared unto me, saying, I have surely visited you and seen that which is done to you in Egypt. And I have said, I will bring you up out of the affliction of Egypt unto the land of the Canaanites, and the Hittites, and the Amorites, and the Perizzites, and the Hivites, and the Jebusites, unto a land of flowing, unto a land flowing with milk and honey. We might as well keep going. Oh man, time's almost gone. Verse 18, and they shall hearken to thy voice, and thou shalt come, thou and the elders of Israel, and unto the king of Egypt, and ye shall say unto him, the Lord God of the Hebrews hath met with us, and now let us go, we beseech thee, 3 days' journey into the wilderness, that we may sacrifice to the Lord our God. Now, what did you just learn in verse 18? And again, everybody's call is not the same. For Moses' call, God got him an entourage. Eh? Right? The elders of Israel. Yeah? I like that. So he told Moses, get the elders together, and then y'all all go to Pharaoh, and then y'all all go get. I mean, I love it. I love it. I love it. I love it. Okay. What's the 11th thing? He will give you specific instructions. Do exactly what he says. Exactly. Anything more or anything less will be getting in his way. Do not get in God's way when you get called or chosen. It's actually very dangerous. No, and we're going to read about that too. Do we have time to go into that? Hopefully we do. We got about 20 minutes. Do exactly what he tells you. Do exactly what he tells you. Exactly. And Moses, we'll be slightly off, and it cost him the promised land. It cost him a little bit more than that. And it cost Jesus, it was just a slight oversight, but it was crucial. Let me keep going. Oh, verse 19. And I am sure that the king of Egypt will not let you go. No, not by a mighty hand. Verse 20. And I will stretch out my hand and smite Egypt with all my wonders, which I will do in the midst thereof. And after that, he will let you go. God is very specific. He gave him some details, but not all the details, right? I mean, it was way more. He gave him enough details. That's the thing about God. He doesn't want us doing anything in doubt. So the details he does give you should be enough to get you on that step. Then he'll give you more about the next step. Then he'll give you some about the next step. Just keep walking and talking with him. Just keep walking and talking with him is what we can take from that, right? Just keep walking. So he's right there. What did he say in verse 12? Certainly I will be with thee. Would your child ask you to take them somewhere and then keep turning around? And, it's like telling your child, you know what, I'm going to take you to the park. And would that child keep turning around saying, where are we going? Where are we going? Where are we going? Which way are we going? Why do we go this way? Why are we going? I'm with you. I'm holding your hand. Just walk. I already told you where we were going and what we're going to do. But you don't need to turn around every step you take and keep asking me over and over again what we're going and what we're going to do. What are we going to do there? Where are we going? What are we gonna... It's like, walk. shut up. It's what you would eventually say to your child, like, would you just shut up and see when we get there? What else am I going to say? Where are we? Verse 21, and I will give this people favor in the sight of the Egyptians, and it shall come to pass that when ye go, ye shall not go empty. And we know they did not go out empty. Verse 22, but every woman shall borrow of her neighbor and of her that sojourneth in her house jewels of silver and jewels of gold and raiment, and ye shall put them upon your sons and upon your daughters, and ye shall spoil the Egyptians. Like that. Like that, like that. Like he always got something up his sleeve, right? What's 11? He will give you specific instructions. Do exactly what he says exactly. Anything more, anything less will be getting in his way. What's 12? Don't doubt God or what he tells you to do. You can ask questions and tell him your fears. And don't let anybody tell you differently. You can ask God. It's not questioning God or questioning his motives. It's asking him so that you are not in doubt, so that you are not in fear, so that you understand. God is a God of order, decency, and order. So he likes everything to be crystal clear at all times. Okay? It's okay for you to ask God questions. Don't take that as disrespect. Okay? You're doing what you should be doing, which is trying to understand what's going on. You're not going to understand everything about God, but you should have understanding about your walk and preparing for it as well, right? Okay. Let's keep going in chapter 4. How are we doing with time? 8:22 is off.
Yeah.
Oh, Lord, time. I'm sorry. My face already. Let's keep going. Chapter 4. And Moses answered and said, but behold, they will not believe me, nor hearken unto my voice, for they will say, the Lord hath not appeared unto thee. So Moses is struggling with, not what he's seeing and what God, but he's struggling with, the people are not going to believe what I'm saying to them. This is so far out there. The people are not going to believe. What he's saying is, I barely believe seeing you right now in this burning bush telling me this. You really think they gonna believe me? And I'm barely believing what I'm seeing is what's going on here. Verse 2, and the Lord said unto him, what is that in thy hand? And he said, and Moses said, a rod. And he said, cast it on the ground. And Moses casted it on the ground, and it became a serpent. And Moses fled from before it. I mean, like anybody would do. If your stick turned into a serpent, yeez, that would be pretty scared. Okay? Verse 4. And the Lord said unto Moses, put forth thine hand and take it by the tail. And he put forth his hand and caught it, and it became a rod in his hand. So what's going to be 13? Negotiate till you feel confident and comfortable in your instructions. And I also added, don't pretend with God. Be truthful regarding your feelings. You feel scared? Be truthful. How are you feeling? Express yourself to God. He knows how you're feeling. But you're going to him like that because you want to get help. Father, I need some more Holy Spirit. I know you are not a God of doubt and fear. And the spirit of fear has come upon me. I rebuke it in the name of Jesus. Like that, you've got to get real adamant about this walk and about this call. This is not for cowards. Okay? God cannot use you or deal with cowards. So whatever you need to do to negotiate with him to get that cowardness out of you, do it. Okay? Do it. And it seems like each step of the way, the more and more he's talking to Moses, the confidence is being built up. So you may need to do that as well. Okay? Confidence, the more and more you talk to God and communicate with God, the more and more confidence should be building up. If not, something is wrong. I thought that was the point of talking and walking with God, so you feel safe and comfortable. And that's what counting your blessings is. Count your blessings. If I did it before, I'm going to do it again. I did this, I did that, I did that. Sometimes you just got to remind yourself who it is you're walking with. Okay?
Where are we? Okay, so Moses is down. About the stick and the leg. I see one. 14 was, he will reveal your spiritual gifts to you. So that's what's happening with Moses here in the scriptures. God, Moses is saying, you're not going to believe me. So what does God do? Reveal Moses' spiritual gifts or the divine assistance that's coming with this walk, right? A miracle. That's kind of how it's supposed to go. I mean, some people just don't believe that miracles happen anymore, but that should be a whole heap of miracles following you as a believer, especially from Paul the Chosen. There should be a bunch of miracles coming right behind you. Everywhere you go should be miracles, signs, and wonders, right? So that's what, keep an eye out for that. And a lot of times God is revealing people's spiritual gifts and they're missing it. Why do you think he called you? Because you're special. In case you didn't get it, you're special, right? Yes, and if you don't know, now you know. You're special. Only you can do it. That's what Jonah didn't understand going to Nineveh. Only you can do it. I need you to go. They're going to receive you. There's something about you that they can identify with, and I need you to go, and you're going to go. It's a beautiful thing. But Jonah couldn't fathom it. He couldn't see it. Don't be a Jonah with your walk. It's a beautiful thing to say yes and just do it. This is the creator we're talking about. Like, why would this be negotiable? You know, and like I said, I can identify with this in every way. Very scary, not having the details and being told to leave your job, your great paying job, and you have a mortgage, and you have this, and you have a car note, and you have that, and you have a child. Well, you know, grown or not grown, you still have a mouth to feed. And still wholeheartedly doing it and saying okay. Okay? So I'm not giving you lip service. I'm not telling you I'm perfect. I'm saying exactly what I'm reading with these two gentlemen from Abraham and now Moses. Like, I can identify with that. I mean, I didn't touch the surface nearly as much as them. I'm just saying in my zone, in my present day, in my generation, I have their lives to reflect on. Like I said, I'm not getting called to go to Egypt and deliver the people. That's amazing. And I'm not even in a little bit comparing myself to these powerful men of God. However, what I'm talking about is the call. Remember, let's not forget about what the show is about. It's from call to chosen. It requires a lot of leaving behind and letting go. And if you are not willing to do that, you're going to struggle with getting chosen. You'll get called. You probably get called to do certain things, and you'll probably be successful at that, but you're not all in. And this is requiring all in, okay? So, and imagine all that that I said, and then being told to leave your house and leave your state and go to a completely different state with completely different people, and you don't even know anybody, and you just hear my voice, follow me, and do exactly what I tell you to do. I've done it. I've done it. And I must say, not once did I ever regret it. That's number one. And number two, not once did I ever doubt God from the scriptures. I had something to base it on, like, yeah, I'm pretty sure I'm hearing God say this, but why? Why does he want me to do that? Why? I mean, and then you have a decision to make, yes or no. And I chose yes, not because, like I said, not because I'm such a great, amazing person. It's because I can look and say, oh, wow, when Abraham got called, that must have been the strangest thing ever. Get some of your father's house and go to that. It's going to require you getting up and leaving and going somewhere, going to a new place, a total new place. and that's uncomfortable, and doing some new stuff that you've never done before, and that's very, very uncomfortable, but do it anyway. Do it while you're uncomfortable, because the more and more you do, the more and more you communicate, the less and less uncomfortable it gets, and to the point where you should be fully submitted and looking forward to the next set of instructions, right? Like, oh, okay, good, he sent me here. Oh, I know he sent me here. This is preparation, because he's about to send me out there. Like, this is, it's exciting. I mean, it really is exciting to see. So I'm not, like I said, I'm not just giving you lip service. I can identify a little bit with being told some what we would call way out of our comfort zone type things and just doing it anyway and it working out. When you do, it's God. We talk about God here. Like, why? The only doubt should be us. Us, like, saying, me? But never doubting what it is that he's actually telling us to do. That's the amazing part about it, is to create it. You can trust them. You can trust them. And it's not that it was a guessing game with him. Like, you should be in constant communication with him to be able to trust him. So, you know what I'm saying? And if you're not, get into it. Get into it. Get into the constant communication. Start asking him random stuff. That way when he answers you, you can start getting used to trusting the voice you're hearing. Ask him random stuff. What should I wear today, Father? And see what he pulls out of the closet for you. Through you, right? He's in you, through you. See what he comes up with. Listen to your ideas. Ask him what's the next step. Pay attention to your ideas. Write down your ideas. Test the spirit. That's how you test the spirit. You got to do something. Test it. Say something. Open your mouth. You can. But one thing you can do is when you get confirmed that it's God, you can trust God. You can trust him. Okay? Let's keep going. Well, how much minute? Oh, no. Let's stop right there. Let me mark this. Oh, goodness. I'm going to mark this to start here. Like I said, the way it's been going, it's hard to tell if I'm going to be doing part two of something or something new. I just, like I said, I trust them. You tell me to talk about something, I talk about it. And if I'm supposed to keep going with it, I'm going to keep on going with it. It's just going to be ongoing. I'm going to keep going with it. But I feel like to say we can do a part three next week. Or if not, like I said, you can keep going step by step, line upon line, precept upon precept, taking notes and taking mental notes, or you want to write them down of where Moses excelled and where Moses, oh, matter of fact, I want to do a part three because he missed something that was very, very crucial. I want to speak about it. Matter of fact, it will be a part. It'll be a part three no matter what. It's if it's going to be next week or the week before or the week after. I mean, the week the week before. We won't be going back. We're going future. yeah, we need to discuss what he missed. I mean, it was, I think a lot of people struggle with that. They think, oh, he just made a simple mistake. It wasn't. And we'll talk about why it wasn't just a simple mistake that Moses made when God gave him specific instructions on what to do with that rock. Okay? We got a few minutes here. Let's just... And I got two classes to do tonight, about an hour each. So, no, remember I said, watch what comes out of my mouth when we say I am. I am energetic. He says, call those that be not as though they are. Like, why do I want to keep on saying I'm tired and I'm tired and I want to go to bed and I want to go to bed? When I got two classes to do, I am energetic. I am going to, you know what I mean, like speak light, speak endurance, you know, speak happiness, peace, love. Speak that. Whatever it's not, speak it. Okay? Anyway, I'm sure you read in the beginning of Genesis that we're made in God's image. That's not the end of the story. If you keep on going, you'll see in Genesis chapter 5 that we are no longer in God's image. We're in Adam's image. And that's why we need the Creator. Stop messing around with that Jesus thing in your head. That's demonic if I ever seen one. And clear that and rebuke that devil. in anything that questions or denounces Jesus. Rebuke that devil and open your mouth clearly and say, I rebuke you, devil, and you're not going to play with me any longer. And accept Jesus Christ as your Lord and Savior. Like I said, this is a kingdom royal priesthood that you're entering into. You're either going to say yes or you're going to say no. I'm not here to convince you to do that. I'm just here to say, why the hell would you choose hell? Because that's the difference. Okay, that's the default if you don't. So why would you play around with that? I'm not understanding. Why would you play around with that? Anyway, and how do you do that? Restore yourself back to your original nature is you open your mouth and you say, Father in heaven, I believe that you are God and that Jesus is your son. I believe that Jesus died for my sins and that after 3 days he arose from the dead. Today I make a quality choice to turn from my past ways. Jesus, I ask you to please forgive me of my sins, and I invite you to come into my heart to be Savior and Lord of my life. Make something new of me, creating me a hunger for your word. I want to fully understand my responsibility and authority as your child. Thank you for salvation and for the promise of abundant life spiritually, physically, economically, and socially. Father, I purpose to give your name the praise, the honor, and glory with my words and with my life. In the name of Jesus Christ of Nazareth, amen. Thank you so much, so much, so much. It's as simple as that. It's not nothing simple. It's as simple as that as far as becoming a joint heir in the royal priesthood, if you will. That's a simple step and the most powerful step you ever make in your life. So make it, and especially now, like I said, now step your game up. Like, it's corny to be worshiping the devil at this point. It's always been corny. You just ain't know it. So if you don't know that, you know, it is corny to worship the devil. That's stale and played out. I mean, you want to, what they doing now, all these, and you look stupid. I mean, you look stupid. You look weak and stupid at the same damn time. Step your game up. And if you are with a man that's throwing up those demonic symbols, you look stupid being with him. Step your game up. That is, it's always been played out. It never was played in. But now more than ever, if you people are still doing that, like I said, all down my timeline, I'd be seeing it. And I'd just be like, really? Really? So my thing is, they make it a point to throw up these stupid little game signs. The called, make it a point to get that soul, okay? Make it a point to get that soul. All right, y'all. I got to go and block up because we got 60 seconds. All right, so y'all have a blessed week. Y'all really, really have a blessed, blessed, blessed week. Why wouldn't you? With all that's going on in the world, you can still have a blessed week. Know that. Claim it, declare it, and decree it over and out.